Thank you, Sharon. I was just praying again. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to morning worship services here at Fruitland Baptist Church. It's a wonderful thing to see that there are some other people that want to come today and give God the glory and give Him the praise. We're thankful for everyone that's come. If you're visiting with us today, things are a little atypical here today. We're missing a lot of people, vacations and other things that are going on. But we're glad for everyone that's here, and I know that God wants us to make a joyful noise to Him today. So let's stand if you're able today. I unfortunately am going to have to sit down and just stand up when we pray. But let's open in our hymnals. We don't have anything on the screen today, to number 812, Victory in Jesus. I trust today that everyone here has a reason to rejoice of that victory, that you know Christ is your Savior. But let me just say this today, if you're apart from Jesus Christ, He will offer you that victory today, and you can have that by trusting in His work on the cross to save us from the eternal penalty of our sin. So let's join together in song 812, Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. How He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Jesus, my Savior forever, bought me and bought me. His redeeming blood, He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. Plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. Then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. Praise God, He loved me ere knew Him. And all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. Streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me. His redeeming blood, praise God, He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Once again, welcome to our services. Let's go for a moment of prayer before the Lord. Father, thank You once again for this day of Your grace and mercy, so wondrously bestowed upon mankind. And thank You today, Lord, for the good news, the gospel message, that even though man fell into grievous sin before God the Father loved us through His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to pay the penalty and to be the perfect substitutionary sacrifice for our sin.
He not only came and died and shed his blood, but then he rose again the third day. And that gives us that very victory we just sang about. We no longer are bound by death and the forces of evil, but we've been liberated through the power of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the gathering. Lord, we know we have many people missing today, different situations, some with elderly parents, excuse me, that are ill, different parts of the country, many on vacation. Lord, we have a community around us that in large is not interested in you today, Lord, very likely, but you're still interested in them. And you've preserved us as a gospel lighthouse here in this area, Lord, to remain true to you and to love people and reflect your light. Now we thank you, Lord. We realize there are many needs in people's lives today. There could be all kinds of situations, grief, illness. Maybe a family had a fight today, or there were difficulties in the home, in a marriage. We don't know, Lord, but you can heal all those ills. And so I pray, Lord, that your power would rest upon us today through the Holy Spirit. And this would be a day when you are faithfully proclaimed. Now, Lord, as we proceed with this, may you be working on our hearts. And may our hearts be pliable today, Lord, and willing to be changed by you, that we not leave this place the way we came. And I pray these things now and thank you once again for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Again, I want to welcome everyone to our services. I want to also tell you from myself and Kim, a heartfelt thanks for all the prayers that have gone up for both of us. And I've had some troubles. I'm the one that maybe has suffered from those things, but I don't want you to forget that my dear wife has gone through much heavier burdens than I have in the last week and a half or so here to keep everything together. And we can continue to covet your prayers. I just want to tell you I'm up and going on a very limited basis, and that's how it'll be till this gets into a position where I'm more able to do rigorous things again. So thank you for having patience with me. Thanks again to this congregation over the years for supporting Kim and I and helping us. There's a thank you in the bulletin. During Kim's transition and her employment, you've seen fit to help us maintain our health coverage and so forth for a couple of months, and that's been a wonderful blessing. Just one of the prescriptions I take for 10 days is $5,000. So we know that these things are in God's hands, but I appreciate the prayers, and I want you to know that today. I guess we'll go ahead and sing another hymn here, 796. We have a lot of things we got to deal with today. We're going to sing the first and last of this one, though, today. But may our hearts be in the mode, once again, that as if we were singing the whole thing. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I... Thank you for the good singing this morning. Just a few moments here of time on the right-hand side of our bulletin. Several things that we need to talk about. First of all, I have been informed that there was a good week at Vacation Bible School this past week. And I also want to commend and thank everyone for coming together to fulfill all the needs of that ministry this week. Our director is not with us today, but I wonder if anyone would like to just give a short report about Vacation Bible School this past week. Thank you, Jason.
Heard myself being volunteered. Yeah, well, first of all, Doug was our herald, and he got up there with our trumpet. I can always go get that for you if you want to give him a sample. And he go, da 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 da, and he get us started for the day. And we had a pretty good show, you know, for what we normally do. We had, 15 kids to start with, and 14. It was 14 kids. And you know how it normally goes. We got down to 13 and then 12. The last day we had a few families out, so we were down to, I think, 6 kids at the end. But you know what? I really feel that we were able to reach into the lives of some of these kids. And
yep.
I know a few times when I was talking to them myself, and I'm sure this happened in the other classes as well, that there's kind of a hush and a silence and then listening and absorbing, you know, and I saw that in a few kids' eyes. And it was really nice to see, and they got involved in the singing, and I think the kids really enjoyed themselves. And I, you know, I had some kids that were like, you know, hey, we're really looking forward to coming, you know, and that's something that you don't always hear sometimes when you're doing VBX, you know, that the kids are really, truly excited to come back. So, you know, praise God for that.
Amen. Yeah.
We did really miss having you here, Pastor.
I miss being here, Jason. I really would have come, but I have obeyed what people have told me, pretty much. I know I have to, but I did. But that's what this set is up here. The theme for this last week was the armor of God out of Ephesians 6, and the key verse was Ephesians 6:11, which I believe says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And is that correct? I think
it
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff actually had back behind you over here, which is only half a night, but it was perfect for illustrating that to the kids.
Yep.
He doesn't have his whole armor on, and you know, that was a good way. I think the kids really kind of resonated with that, and they got the thing memorized. I think probably by the third day, most of them had it memorized, so they did really well this year. Praise God.
I know our grandson, Levi, really, he wanted to keep coming back. And he said, well, it's over now, but...
Yeah, I'm sure you're still excited to come, too.
Amen. One good thing, though, folks, that we need to remember today, there was a lot of work that went into this and dedication. And I know that our payback won't be until we get to heaven, but I don't think it'd be wrong to give them some applause this morning. And thank you. Thank you. Thanks to everyone that had a part in that. Okay, Jason, thanks a lot. Well, you can go on and talk longer if you'd like.
So. I'll give it to
you. Okay. All right. Well, on with the announcements. Several things, but we'll go down the column here. Evening service at 6 o'clock. Again, the message in part two is the ingredients of the recipe of rewards from God. We all want to serve God because we love him, but we also want to be in his favor. And this is one text of scripture that can help us to know how we can find favor with God. And so come back for that tonight. There's some practical things there that you may or may not have looked into in the past. And then we're going to have a meeting today at 4:30 for Gearheads and the Gospel. This is a men's retreat that is planned here for the 24th and 25th of September. Kim, you have some brochures. And I wonder if you pass those down each side. I mailed out a stack that thick yesterday, and there's many more to go, but this is a massive undertaking. And this is what I want to say about this. If you have any questions, but I'll illustrate here briefly what it is. I'm going to take a little extra time for that today. We have a meeting today at 4:30 in Fellowship Hall. We're coming down now to about 5 weeks before this event comes to be. And this is an excellent opportunity. In other words, we've reached out. I think on the bulletin board, there's one of our flyers in a statewide newsletter. But this is something where I've got mailings and electronic communications out to many places, not only to churches, but to other. This is an evangelistic event, and it could be a very large event. I think Fruitland needs to really pull together on this as well. We have a couple of events yet this year that are planned, Lord willing. But this is a great opportunity because you know what? God didn't put us here to just be consumers. He put us here to be producers. And this is an evangelistic opportunity to reach out to people. What it consists of is an invitation for people to bring classic vehicles, classic machinery, classic trucks, garden tractors. You may have more questions about that, but we'll have a show here. But that's not the key thing. The key thing is we'll also have the gospel that is preached twice during that time and some other seminars and fellowship. I think it could be a very big tool for outreach, and we need that, don't we? We need to be proactive. It's also something that shows our community that we're interested in people and invites them to come through our doors. So that's, Kim, you help me, what I've forgotten. I'm not the sharpest anymore here lately, so. But there's lots of opportunities to serve.
For women, you might think this is a man thing, but we need lots of women to help too, because the men are in hearing the word being preached. We will have to take turns staying outside watching their vehicles and that. There's no vandalism with that. So women can be involved too. And just walking around the grounds and picking up trash and showing someone where the restroom is, where the auditorium is, being helpful that way. So there is work for women to do. We're going to provide care and education.
September 24th and 25th.
Yeah, it starts Friday evening, yep. So they can start bringing their machinery at 4 Friday, and then it goes all day Saturday. So lunch is provided on Saturday, and so I might be needing some help, volunteers with bars and cookies. We're going to keep it pretty simple, but with that end of it.
The key, though, is to get excited about this. I've really been, I am quite excited for what God might do. But realize there is an opportunity, not by force or coercion, but to help with this and to really receive a blessing. If nothing else, if you have the ability to just talk to people or look at something, but there might be little things that we can do, again, that will enhance this. I anticipate a very good turnout for this. So it's a great opportunity, Fruitland. And God's laid this on my heart for years, and I figured after this long, it's time we better try it. So I'm excited. Do you have any questions? It's Earl Swigert from down at Lockridge. He'll be preaching Friday evening for about an hour and on Saturday morning for an hour. It is geared toward men, but as you see on these flyers, it's family friendly. Bring your family. Ladies, you're going to find interesting. That's, there you go, Kim. That's what it's geared for, but what we really want the gospel to get out, that people might be saved, you know. And I'll tell you what, folks, the venues for that today are much more limited. This is a good opportunity. And anyway, I don't want to belabor that because we've got other things to do, but is there any other questions on that? Jeff, did we cover things? Doug, come today at 4:30, if you can, because there's a lot of things that we need to start. We're coming into the funnel, and so please come if you can, and please help if at all possible. You won't regret it. All right, on down the line we go here. There's been a question about the fellowship team for August 29th. By the way, that will be a children's message as well. Carol asked this question. I don't have the answers. Deb Wheeler sets these things up. Hopefully they'll be back this week. But you can bombard her with questions. She's been on vacation for a long time now. She can handle that, right? No. I don't know the answers, but we'll find them, okay? And we'll get it set straight. So I don't know the status of the 29th, but hopefully someone will be here to help serve that fellowship. Reminder, no Jesus Club for August. Wilton Bible Study, that would be this coming Thursday, basement of the Presbyterian Church. That's at 6 o'clock. Women's Bible Study, I believe, is the 23rd of August at 6 p.m. Men's Bible Study would be next Saturday at 9 out in Fellowship Hall. You see my thought for the week there, but also a couple of other things. Again, just to reiterate, thank you for your prayers and support. During this time of illness, I suppose you all wonder, but it is going to take me some time to recover fully from this. And I pray that you'll be able to understand that, and we'll do our best. Also, there's going to be another opportunity to meet people at Fruitland Days. We always have a table there. That will be the second weekend in September down at the park. Talk to me if you're interested there. And there's also a couch here at the church that someone has donated. You can see it in the lower hall if you want to look at it. It's free for anyone that'll take it. Isn't that correct? Okay. So it's a very nice couch. But I don't lay down on the job here. Only on Sunday afternoons when we're here once in a while. Well, enough announcements. Sandra, not enough yet. Okay, thank you, Sandra, for pointing that out. I have not gotten back there today. This question just came to me. Understand, we've had some, you know, when Deb's been gone and everything, things get out of whack. But we'll keep it in line. Bottom line, someone will stand up to help, right?
Yes.
We will not go without. We want to invite you back for that, too. That's our monthly fellowship for birthdays and anniversaries, and it's a potluck following the morning service every final Sunday of the month. Again, we're glad for those that are visiting today. We're glad for everyone that's come through our doors. At this time, we're going to thank the Lord for an opportunity to give back to Him and thank Him for all that He's done and how He's blessed us. And also take a few moments of introspection. Last Sunday I said, or Sunday before, retrospection. By the way, thanks to Lonnie. He's not here today. And to all of you that filled in. It was my intent to try to be here last Sunday, but it did not work out. I didn't get out of the hospital six Sunday night. So, anyway, what was I saying again? Oh, I said retrospection, and that's not wrong, but introspection is a better word to prepare our hearts for what God has for us in His Word today. So with that said, let's go to prayer. Father, thank You again for this time and the gathering of the saints. Thank You too, Lord, for the opportunity of something to brag about and talk about, and that being You, Lord Jesus. You deserve all of our accolades and more. It's all about You. It's not about us, even though You came for us. And we are special to You. We know that, Lord, or You wouldn't have come out of love and did what You did for us. And yet, Lord, when we come to realize it's all about You, then we get it right. Anyway, Lord, we can never thank You enough. We can't outgive You. You've given it all. And we acknowledge today too, Lord, that all this stuff that we have that's material has come and has been given from Your gracious hand. It's nothing any of us deserve, Lord. We acknowledge that today. We know truly what man deserved was hell. And yet, You've not only redeemed us from that if we'll put our faith and trust in You, but You've given us much more in abundance. You're a good God. Your goodness flows very evidently before our very eyes. So now, Lord, also, Your word does have admonitions how You expect us to be stewards of Your grace and Your goodness. And at this time, Lord, as people are led by the Spirit through the word and the convicting power of the word, this is an opportunity to give back, not by coercion, but out of thanksgiving. So, Lord, I pray today that You'd bless both the gift and the giver. And thank You, Lord, we can brag on You always that You've taken care of us abundantly and better than what we could ever have deserved. Also, Lord, as we have this time now as the musicians play, help us, Lord, to focus on You. And for the message at hand today, Lord, how we'll respond to that. And I ask today, Lord, maybe if there'd even be someone here that's never come again to the saving knowledge, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would tap them on the shoulder this day, that they'd be born again in You. And so, Lord, for those of us that have been born again, forgive us, Lord, but empower us and change us. As I said earlier, help us not to come in here the same, or not to leave here the same way we came in. So, Lord, these things and more we lay at Your throne. And we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jeff is here with a special for us today. Thank you, Jeff.
Well, trying to pick a song, and I'm looking at this stuff, and I'm thinking, well, do I have to do something from Camelot? Man of La Mancha.
Yeah.
The two Broadway musicals that come to mind when you walk in the door, if you follow those kind of
yeah.
things, which I have my whole life. But, and if I was here, he was in Man of La Mancha.
Yeah. By the way, it was reported to me that we need to get a drama team going here at Fruitland because there's some very good players, and we will do that this fall. We will.
And what the pastor has went through this week is not fun at all, what he's had to put up with. He's farmed, he's hauled livestock, many hogs and stuff in his whole life. Well, when you ever play with your kids, did you ever play with their toes? Well, Kathy said this week in light that his little piggy went to market. So.
Well, it was actually the big one. But,
that's what you start
yeah,
with, though.
Yeah.
When you were your kids.
Yep.
His little piggy went to market.
Yep, that's right. Very
okay,
good.
Okay, anyway, that's not got to do with this. We just went back to an old standard here, so. I travel alone. Upon this lonesome way, my burdens were heavy, and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all of the time been looking for me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so till the end, it's Jesus and me. The road may be long to heaven's pearly gate. I know that it's narrow. I know that it's straight. But Jesus is there through eternity. We'll travel along, just Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me, for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so till the end, it's Jesus and me. Forever I'll sing of His great love to me. Forever I'll tell it on land and on sea. I'll
stay by his side. Contented I'll be for all of my life. It's Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend. And so till the end, it's Jesus and me.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. That's a great reminder. And, you know, I just want to tell you, when I was in the hospital, I was praying for the church and for you folks individually, too. But when we are in that type of a situation, God speaks to our hearts. Nothing, there are no accidents or mistakes with God. There's a purpose. But, you know, that Jeff is really telling it the way it is there. People will always let us down. Your wife, your husband, your children, your pastor, whoever it may be. Today we can all find areas where we could improve and where we've been let down. But let me tell you, Jesus never lets us down. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's what the Word of God tells us. And He's a friend in time of need. And let me just say today that He is there to be not only your friend, but He's there to be your Savior. And He wants you in His family. He wants you to come into a relationship that's personal with Him, that you're engaged in day by day as you walk through life. Because let's face it, life has a lot of stony paths, doesn't it? And a lot of pitfalls. So He is that Savior today who's waiting for you. Well, once again, I welcome you in Jesus' name to our time together. As some of you may know that are regular attenders, we've been in on a subject here for a lot longer than I thought it would turn out. But we've been talking about two cities that were found in the book of Genesis that God wiped off the face of the map, Sodom and Gomorrah. And so if you have any questions about what we've covered, I won't rehash that, but what this account, and this is not a story, I believe the Bible is a factual book. It's chock full of facts, by the way. But anyway, before we go any further, I better what? See, you let me get away with this again. We didn't pray, but the title of today is Sodom and Gomorrah Revisited, How Low Can It Go? And with that in mind, we understand that God has a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. And that's the thing that we want to draw from Sodom and Gomorrah. But also He is a God of righteous judgment. And so we understand that we cannot take His mercy and grace for granted. But we need to respond to it today. So let's go to prayer and we'll get down the line here. Father, may You bless our time in the Word today. Again, Lord, I think that we can all take a inventory of where our world is today, and we can all agree that it is far departed from You, O Lord. However, Your grace and mercy has remained steadfast, and as of this hour that we speak today, You are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that people would turn around, that they would reverse course from their desire to walk with Satan, and reverse course and have a desire to be again, have their sins brought under the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and to be forgiven. And Lord, to focus on a wonderful eternity that You have for us that starts today as a new creature in Christ, even as we still yet live in this old world. But Lord, we will have a day when we'll be in Your very presence and we'll no longer be faced with the curse and the effects of it that fell upon man when Adam and Eve disobeyed You. Help us, Lord, today. I pray if there be a heart here today that's been disobeying God, even if they're ones that are saved, Lord, but if they're not saved here today, that they would not take that gamble on Your grace and mercy, but they would come to You this day and come into Your loving arms and allow to believe on You, Lord, again by faith, that You actually came for us, that we are sinners, unable to help ourselves, and that You died and shed Your blood on Calvary's cross, bearing the sins of the world and your blood to cover the sins of the world, and then rose again to guarantee us new life. Help us, O Lord, to think eternally today, and Lord, to consider the place that we stand. Now, Lord, you know me. I'm the weak link in the chain every week, but I pray you'd give me grace again today, Lord. I've been a little weak lately, but I pray that you'll help me to bring forth this message with confidence, Lord, in your superintendence over it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, anyway, today the text that we're going to be into is where we concluded the last time that I was with you. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to particularly start with verse 11. We'll do our best. I really had wanted to try to finish this today, but we've had a busy morning, as you can tell, with a lot of extras in our service, but we'll do our very best. But I'd like to ask you today a question that I've pondered many times. And of course, you know, whenever you go in to the hospital with a serious issue, what's the first thing you think about? Okay. That's where I'm coming from, Carol. Maybe I what? Maybe I'm going to meet the Lord, you know, through an illness or an accident. We wonder about all these things. We do an inventory about these things. And the question that I have for us today is, how do we want to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we've been talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, and we've thoroughly explored all the issues there. By the way, sin abounded there. We've learned about that. Homosexuality. But grace abounded much more. God was willing to not destroy those cities if how many people could be found? 10 people. And remember, he preserved 8 people. Yeah, my fingers aren't right here. 5 plus 3 is 8. 8 people out of the whole population of the world, when he had to judge the world for this grievous sin that mankind had fallen into in the days of Noah. And there was 120 years of Noah's preaching and of his grace. And let me tell you, folks, people were exposed. No, they did not have the Bible in print form. By the way, today, are you thankful for the devices and the print form? We have God's Word easily and accessible to us. In those days, though, it was as well. It was there. God has always revealed himself to mankind. But even today, as we see such an abundance of the ability to look into the Word of God, many people do what? They reject it. This morning, Phoenix, in our junior-senior high class, we were talking about this with God working with the Israelites in Egypt to let his people go. And Pharaoh, warning after warning, he saw God's miraculous power. And I know this is hard to understand, but when we read that context, and it's also found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, not only did Pharaoh harden his heart toward God, but in God's providential care, he hardened his heart toward Pharaoh. And we wonder about that, don't we? But be assured of this, God is not hardening your heart today. You are hardening your heart toward him. But never take chances with that. You know, God told Pharaoh, I'm going to do such and such tomorrow. If you don't what? Let my people go. God hasn't given us a precise date. But death or other circumstances, the Lord returning in the air for his people, there are things that are on the horizon for all of us. We need to take heed. So, in light of what's coming, as a believer or an unbeliever, how do you want to meet the Lord? Well, if you're an unbeliever here today, you're not going to want to meet him because it won't be a pleasant thing. But let me just say this, God has a desire that everyone knows the Lord Jesus Christ, and many will not receive him on this side of eternity, but we will all know Jesus Christ. God is working his plan, he's working it today, and he'll work it through all eternity. There will not be one person in hell that will not know Jesus Christ. But sadly, it will have been too late. The second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances are now, when we are able to make that decision. But again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Lord tells us today is the today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. None of us knows how far God's grace and mercy will be extended. So how do we want to be found? And let me just ask this, with a pure heart or with an impure heart? Well, absolutely, a pure one. But I think we can all admit to ourselves here this morning, there are times our heart and our intentions are not pure. Whether you're a believer here or an unbeliever, but realize we need to be prepared to meet the Savior. But the key thing here today is that we've been warned. We've been warned many times over. So today we're going to pick up the context and the time we have left in 2 Peter chapter 3. And what we were looking at, this is the second of just two warnings, but the Bible, trust me, is chock full of warnings. Now these centered around Sodom and Gomorrah and God's judgment. And I'm not talking here individual judgment, but I'm talking here a blanket judgment in particular, even though there is individual as well. But these are warnings that God's blanket judgment is coming again. And that these things are in His providential will. And He's given us the opportunity to prepare and to come to Him. So we're going to pick up the context today. I can't re-preach the whole thing. But this helps us to focus with what I just mentioned here. How do we want to meet Jesus? Well, let's see what the Apostle Peter tells us, beginning in verse 11. You can look backwards. It's talking in this particular chapter about God's grace again, His long-suffering, His forbearance. So Peter says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, because that's what we read here in verse 10, right? God's second worldwide judgment is going to be one not of water.
Fire.
It's going to be by fire. And of course we know the rainbow, even though that's been all perverted and everything as well today, but the rainbow is a sign from God that He would never again judge this world universally by water, by a universal flood. Next time it'll be by fire. So Peter says, hearing this, what's coming? By the way, have you ever wondered what people are thinking about this morning that are not in church? Now, I'm not telling you today that church is something that, you know, church is a desire of God for His people to meet for a necessary reason. You've heard preaching on that before. But everyone today that did not come to church had to make a conscious decision for a reason why they did not want to. Some of those reasons might be legitimate. But I guarantee you today, many people said, I don't what? I don't want it. I don't need it. And church, again, is not the whole package. Jesus is the whole package. But the point is what? What are people thinking today? This is serious stuff. But he's talking here to the believers, Peter is. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy, in the King James it says, conversation or lifestyle and godliness? Answer? We ought to be motivated toward holiness, right? What is holiness? We are declared righteous. We're declared holy before God in His sight through the blood of Christ. But let me just tell you something, folks. Our propensity in the flesh is not to be holy. Right? Our propensity in the flesh is to what? To still do it our way? To put these things of the Lord in a lower position than number one? But what Peter's saying here is, he says, we better think about this. How do we want to meet the Lord? How do we want to see our time concluded on this earth? And he's saying it's about your lifestyle and holy living. By the way, we hear that poo-poo today, but I'm not holier than thou. I'm just a sinner. You know that. You people know me well. But I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I recognize that. You know, it's like Peter tells us in another area, we're only saved by fire. By skin, the skin of our teeth. We have no, Paul tells us, don't be high-minded. He's the one that's high. We're not. So he says, our lifestyle, how we handle ourselves. And notice in verse 12, when I gave you that little thought there to start with today, an impure heart or a pure heart this morning, you and I all know. And God's willing to hear today, but He knows it too. But Peter's saying, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. What is our emphasis in our life today? Are we looking for this event to come and realizing we ought to live holily and live for the Lord Jesus Christ? It speaks to my heart. Well, I was in the hospital. Again, as I say, there are no accidents. There were many opportunities to witness to people around me. You all know this. I'm not telling you anything new, but our world is a mess today. And people are looking for answers. Sadly, many of them have rejected the answers found in the Word of God. I trust that you and I both in these situations are reflectors of the light of the gospel, that we have been able to encourage people in Jesus Christ and point them in the right direction. This is so important in the day we live that we not let down our guard, because God will work this program. That's what Peter's saying here, the day of God. I believe, again, that God is working his program today, but he's specifically going to work it with an end times program until all the events that we read about in the book of Revelation and the supporting texts throughout Scripture, Daniel, Jared, you can go to all the prophets. God's working this program, and he'll be right on time. Will we be engaged? All right, now over to verse 13. I suppose, will I be censured if I don't get this done today? I'm sorry, folks. I know that I should be like most of the good speakers, you know, have everything written down and timed out. No, I'm sorry. There's so much in this book, folks. You couldn't speak a lifetime on it and get to the bottom of it. So Peter reinforces that here. He says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Let me ask you today if you're thirsty. I'll tell you what, there's nothing that can quench a thirst like a good drink of good water. We've always had good water at our well at home. I won't go through that any further, but nothing better than water. You can, I mean, in my situation, I do occasionally drink a Diet Coke or so. I walk on the wild side, you know, once in a while. Once in a while, Dr. Pepper diet, too. Never Mountain, oh, I like Mountain Dew, too, but. But, you know, where is our thirst at today? And what will quench that thirst? I just know this, that nothing short of the water that is Jesus Christ will quench our thirst spiritually. So what is the thrust, or the thirst, again, that we have in our life today? And that's where I get the word look there from Peter. He says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, thirst or look. Do you thirst or look for the new heavens and the new earth? We all talk about this. We all know, Larry, we visited a little bit this morning. I tell the doctors, they drop their jaw. They say, well, this is a very serious condition, Mr. Brown, and so on. I say, yeah, it's depreciation. What? I said, yeah. I said, I've been around machinery and operating, you know, the farm and different things my whole life. We wear out. It's called depreciation. If you use something, it wears out. Now, again, God didn't design that originally, did he, in the Garden of Eden? But when man chose to go a different route than what God wanted, depreciation came in. I laugh jokingly. Some of you may not understand this, but in the tax code, there used to be a section 179 for depreciation, meaning that under certain circumstances, you could take the whole thing off in one fell swoop off your taxes. So I say, I'm depreciating, but I'm still not ready for section 179. You get what I'm talking about there? By the way, is there a time we should be ready to die? Yes, we should be ready, but does it mean we want to? There may be times we should, but until that point, we're not done. You know, we're not done. God has a way, will, and he has a way to keep us going. He says here, we look for that new, by the way, what I was trying to illustrate, the new heavens and the new earth, it's the word kainos. God is going to recreate or renew the present earth, but it's going to be like new. There's going to be no more of this effect of the curse. How many of you have struggled? We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. How many of you have battled with a fly in the last week? You know, we had a fly this morning that sat by Phoenix the whole period during Sunday school. Oh, I wanted to reach out. But I thought that might not be a good example for young feet. But who were we talking about today with the plagues? The flies, you know. But the point is, what we're going through now is temporary. But there's good things coming. But let me also say this. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, and I cannot prove this, but yet I think I can from Scripture. There'll even be flies in hell. Because it says, the worm dieth not. We had a debate in Sunday school. Where do the flies come from? Maggots. Kay, I didn't think you even knew about things like that. Come out on the farm, we'll get you a good education with flies. I remember when we used to milk, I've told you this before, the milk house was white. On a day like today, you'd go in there in the evening, the walls would be solid black. Spray. If you take a fly swatter, you'd probably get 40 or 50 flies in one hit. Some of you wouldn't even believe the things that have happened. Anyway, he says, a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. By the way, this is what I saw in the hospital and what I see in general. People know that we're living in a crooked deal today. The whole thing is crooked because it's not done with righteousness in the ways that God would have. And that's the sad synopsis of our day today. It's a crooked deal. But Jesus Christ will come and the ways will be made straight and the rough places plain. Wherefore, old Peter says, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be lukewarm. Take it or leave it. You know, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3 that the day that we live in today nominally is a day of Laodiceanism, where people don't care one way or another. Well, about God. Well, he's gracious, but you know, I don't really have to do anything today because we live in that day in the age of grace. We ought to be motivated by his grace to do something. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You see where I get my point here to start out with. How are we going to be found? Have you really thought about that when we meet Jesus? An account, or Peter says, and because that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. By the way, we take our salvation for granted. God did not have to save us. He did not have to send his own personality in the form of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. We didn't deserve that. And yet people take all kinds of liberties. Not that those liberties aren't there, but we need to be watching out how we handle ourselves. The God of this world had to come and die for the sins of the people he created. That's big stuff, folks. You know, I can't get bogged down, but you know what happened when Christ was on the cross, when God the Father's back was turned to him and he bore the sins of the world and bled for our sins. Cataclysmic event. You know, it was dark in the middle of the day. Earthquakes. Dynamic stuff happened when that particular thing. This, folks, was not something that's just mundane. This is something to live for. Even as he says, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Peter's saying, it's just not me that says this. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Yeah, I can't understand God's grace. Can you? By the way, I listen to some theological stuff. You know, I'm a theologian. And I know some of you say, yeah, he's a lot better at that than he is at being a pastor. But I can tell you today, and you know it too, there are some things in Scripture that are hard to understand, and that's one of them, why God would even die for us. I listened to some debates, but Kim would tell me not to talk about it because John Warwick Montgomery, any of you ever heard of him? Well, you look him up. I won't take the time, but he's one of the sharpest cookies. He's 89 years old. Standing for the faith, once delivered to the saints. Book of Jude, right? Jude verse 3. Jude only has one chapter. We're told to what? Earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. John, get with it. All of us, let's get with it, right? Many things are hard to understand, but this is what Peter said. He says, which they that are unlearned and unstable. The Bible says that an unstable life is like a wave out in the sea. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need to invest time in the Word of God. And we need to invest time in the Lord Himself and learn of His ways. He tells us His ways are not burdensome. His burden is light and His yoke is easy. But the fact of the matter is, you see, this is what Satan uses. People that are not grounded in the Word. It says here, which they that are unlearned and unstable. Folks, we live in one of the most unlearned generations in late days for the capabilities that we have about the Word of God. People don't use it. You know, back in the dark ages, if I went to a place for a meal when I was a kid and they didn't have a high chair, you used a Sears catalog to sit on. Some of you don't even know what a Sears catalog was, or JCPenney or Montgomery Ward catalog. But I'm afraid today that the Bibles are used for that, a decorative piece in most homes. You can think about that. But he says here that those that are not learned are unstable, rest. And that word rest in the King James means distort. And folks, we won't get to where we needed to get today, but that's what's going on today. God's Word is being distorted. People are looking for all different types of things out of it that aren't there. And they're reading things into it that are not there. But God's Word will stand on its own. It's forever settled in heaven. But that's what's going on. As they do also the other Scriptures, notice that, folks, again, there in verse 16. Unto their own destruction. Destruction. The liberties that are offered to so many people under the grace of God, which I don't negate the grace of God, but the liberties which many pulpits and others proclaim under the grace of God, oftentimes lead to people's own what? Destruction. But there is liberty in Jesus Christ, true liberty. Well, how far was I going to go here? 18. Oh, the end of the chapter. And then we're going to be done. We will come back for a part 6. Well, Lord willing. By the way, part 6 will be the third point of this message, God's encouragement to His people in days of decline. God's encouragement to His people in days of decline. This is going to be 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll look into that next time. But the last two verses. Ye therefore, beloved, Peter says, seeing you know these things before. In other words, you've been forewarned about this. By the way, when did Peter write this? Coming up close to, 1900 years and plus. By the way, how long does it take for us to get the message?
Some short, some forever.
That's right. I'll say this, it ought to be sooner than later. Beloved, seeing you know these things, you've been informed. By the way, it's dangerous to come to church or to study the Word of God. You know why? Because once you know something, you are responsible for it. Yep, you're responsible for it. And then Peter says, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He's warning the believers here. And let me tell you, folks, we live in a day I think believers have fallen away like you wouldn't believe. I see it. I mean, I've been around a while. I'm antiquated. But how do I really know it? Because I see what goes on in the struggle in my own life. Verse 18. There's only one way to keep from slipping. There's only one way to keep from dying spiritually. And it's to grow. I've said this so many times, I'm sure that people are sick of it, but there's no neutral in God's gearbox. You're either going forward or you're going in reverse, because there's no coasting. But here's what old Peter says. He says, but what? This is the key to this whole context. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I ask you today, and I ask myself, what's the pattern in your life today? Is it growth or is it death? But let me say this. Today it can be growth as of now. Lord, I'm going to get re-engaged with you. You know, I admit to you, in the hospital, I got re-engaged with the Lord to a greater degree. Every circumstance has bearing in our lives. I realize for me that there are many things that I can no longer do, but I can still grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of us can. And today may be a day that we need to consider. But I like that. Peter closes, he says, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I challenge us today. Are you growing in the grace? And are you walking with and forward with Jesus Christ? Again today, if you're here apart from Jesus Christ, you never acknowledged your sinfulness and placed it under his blood, trusted him to forgive you, believed upon him and what he did, his work at Calvary's cross and his resurrection, today is the day, folks, because you've been warned. We don't know how far the grace of God will go. How low can it go? A lot further than what we think, maybe. And you know what? God's being patient with America today. He's being patient with the world. But that day will end. And then for us as believers, are you on a trajectory of growth with him? How do you want to meet him? Let's get reconnected with God. Whatever God would do in your heart today, you can let that be known to him. You can come forward if that's a desire. I'm here again too to encourage you. But may this be a day that's a turning point with Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's take our hymnals as we close today. And let's stand if we're able. And 485. I would be true. This is a good challenge for us today as we've heard this message. 485. We'll sing the first stanza. Today, if there's a need or you have a commitment to make to the Lord, certainly fine to do that where you're at, but also understand that our dealings with God in ways are private, but they also can be public. And there's no better way to acknowledge him than to place yourself under his care individually and realize there are others that love the Lord and that want to help you if you're struggling today in your life. I would be true, verse 1.
I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I would be brave, for there is much to dare.
Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Father, that's a good question today, and that's a good commitment that is made throughout that hymn. But Lord, this is a day to get right with you and to be truthful with you you already know the truth, but you want us to confess it to you, O Lord. But I pray today that you would strengthen all of us here that looked into your word this morning by what is said. And yet, Lord, we're thankful that your grace still prevails for upon all of us. So, Lord, help us, though, as Peter told us, to be ready to have a different mindset for the day that we will see you face to face. Now, I pray for this flock as we go out these doors. Lord, as you reassemble us later in the day, we pray for that, but for safety, again, as we travel our homeward ways. And, Lord, again, that there'd be movement in the hearts of people this day. So we give you praise and thanksgiving, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.